And I'm going to begin with that familiar verse. He kind of started it in Mark chapter 12. Jesus has asked the question, what is the first commandment of all? And this is what he said. The first commandment of all is, hear, O Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. These are the two greatest commandments, love God and love people. And last week we started, like I said, about that first commandment that we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And one way that we talked about last week, he said one way we show is through our worship, but we also show God that we love him by choosing to live in his presence. See, we were created to have a personal relationship with our God and to live in his presence. And there is nothing like experiencing the presence of God in your life. That's why heaven is going to be so great. We get to experience God in a way that we cannot even imagine. But you know, we can have a little bit of heaven here on earth if we can learn to live in his presence. And what does that mean, to live in his presence? That means that we just choose to keep our mind on the Lord all day and include him in everything that we do. It's all about being constantly aware that he is with you. He said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And it says in Psalm 121 verse 5 that the Lord is the shade at your right hand. Now, for those of you that heard this message last week, did you practice it a little bit? Did you practice trying to remember God all day? Did you forget? And at the end of the day, I thought, oh, man. Well, we all do that. Don't get discouraged. Keep on. Let's practice living in God's presence. Because, you know, as we learn to live in God's presence, it's going to help us to love people the way that he wants us to. You know, so tonight's message, the title is Loving People. Because we want to learn to love people the way that Jesus wants us to. Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It also says in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God. How do you know that you show, how can you show your love for God? It's to obey his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And we can show our love for God, because the series is loving God. We can show our love for God by choosing to obey his command to love people. You know, when it comes to loving God, there's so much to love about him and to admire about our God. But when it comes to people, well, sometimes you have to look for something, and it can be very difficult to love people sometimes, because, you know, even that one that you love so much can make mistakes and let you down. People can offend you and hurt you by things that they say. People can be moody and grumpy. People can be lazy. They can be demanding, critical, and judgmental. People can get angry with you. People can lie and cheat and steal. Have you ever lied to you and cheat you and steal? I sure have. Have you ever been hurt by someone physically because of some accident that they caused? People can be selfish and unfair. And just face it, some people are just plain evil. They've been hurt, so they want to hurt others. And sometimes we have to deal with people that have an addiction. Maybe they're an alcoholic or a drug addict, or maybe they're hooked on pornography. If someone you love has an addiction, it makes it difficult to deal with them, and it makes it difficult sometimes to show them the love that God wants us to show them. But, you know, we all have to deal with people who have shortcomings and failures. And many times this is going to end up costing you something. It'll cost you money. It can cost you your peace of mind. It can cost you time. But so what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to love people? We need to make the choice, first of all, that we're going to do it, whether they deserve it or not. Now, there's a verse of scripture the Lord has used to help me when it comes to obeying him. And so, and it's found in Genesis chapter 20. This is a story when Abraham lied about his wife to King Abimelech. He told him that she was his sister. And because of this lie, it caused King Abimelech, it caused him some trouble and some trouble in his kingdom. And he found out that Abraham had lied to him about his wife. And this is what I want you to take take note of tonight. And this is what Abimelech said to Abraham. He said, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? What did you have in view that you have done this thing? You see, Abraham was not thinking right about his God. He was not trusting God to take care of him, so therefore he lied. I see, when it comes to thinking about people the way God wants us to, we need to think rightly about it. We need to think about people the way God does. Because if you don't, you're going to, for me, I'll end up just like Abraham and not and lying about something because I'm afraid of what people might think. We have to learn to think rightly about people. We need to remember, Jesus died for that person that you can't stand. And people are what is important to God. He really cares about that person that you can't stand. We need to know that people are important to God. Every single life is important to Him. We need to realize that people are more important than anything else in this world. Because when God created man, He created an eternal being. Everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. And our God wants each and every person to spend eternity with Him. They have a choice. And sadly, not everybody makes the right choice. But it says in 1 John 4, verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us. How did God show His love to us? That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. How did God manifest His love to us? By sending Jesus for us. What's that famous verse, John 3:16? For God so loved the world. And when He says world, that He's talking about people. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Verse 10 of John chapter 4, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, which means He sent His Son to make the payment for our sins. It says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, what did God do? He did everything that He could to try to draw your heart to Him so that you may accept the sacrifice that Jesus made and be able to live with Him forever. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, if He loved us so much to do that for us, we ought also to love one another. Remember, God loves us despite our mistakes and failures, so we need to do the same for other people. I tell you, the greatest motivation you can have to love people is that we want to love people because we love the Lord. We don't do it because they're worthy of it, but we simply love people because our God asks us to do it. And here's an amazing truth. It says in Galatians 5:14, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now think about that. The entire law is summed up in this single command. When you think about your Bible and all that's in there, if you're going to sum it all up, love your neighbor as yourself. I think this is an important command that we learn how to do in a greater way. So how do we do that? Well, we follow the golden rule. We've all heard of the golden rule. People who've never been to church, never opened a Bible, they know the golden rule. But let's read what the word says in Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And again, it's repeated in Luke 6:31 a little bit differently. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. So if you ever wonder how you should show love to someone, just treat them the way that you want to be treated. Treat them the way you want to be treated. This is how you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's an example of how you can love your neighbor as yourself and follow the golden rule. It's show people mercy. Just show them mercy. Here's a scripture in Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, in my life, I have thought about this verse so many times. I remember as a high school student, I remember thinking about this verse in regards to how I treat people, that I need to be merciful to people, because if I want to be shown mercy, I need to show mercy to others. You know, when I mess up, I want people to be merciful to me. So when people mess up and cause me trouble, how can I not be merciful to them? Everybody likes to be shown mercy. So when you remember all the mistakes that you have made, it makes it easier to show mercy to others. Another way we can show that we love our neighbor as ourselves and follow this golden rule, this is by appreciating and acknowledging their hard work. Appreciating and acknowledging the hard work that other people do. That's how you live it out. Be careful to take notice and say thank you to people and be grateful. Now, my husband is a really good example of when I'm cooked a meal, for example, he always, just about always says thank you. And he appreciated me fixing such a nice meal. But he's good about acknowledging all the things that I do around the house and appreciating what I do around the church. And he'll tell me, you know what that does? It makes it a joy to do that. It makes it a joy for me to cook for him because he likes it. He tells me he likes it. So we need to make sure, especially with our family, you know, we get used to our family being around, but take notice of what people do in your household and thank them, appreciate it. My husband does the mowing, so I appreciate it when he mows the yard. When he mows, I try to make it a point to go out in the front yard and turn around and look and see what he did and go, man, it looks really good because he is really good at mowing the yard. Does a super duper job. But we need to make sure, you know, appreciate people. I tell you, one of the hardest hurts that I have ever had to get over before was when I had worked really, really hard at something, and when it was all done, I just felt like it wasn't appreciated at all. And it was hard, you know, because when you work hard at something, so make sure, take note. That's how you can follow the golden rule, is by appreciating and acknowledging other people's hard work. Now, if you want to follow the golden rule, then you have to make a choice ahead of time that you're going to love the people that offend you. It says in Luke 17:1, Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. I tell you, people will offend you and they will irritate you, but it's your choice whether you're going to act in a way that's going to bring life or death to the situation. Because if you're going to love people, then you're going to have to choose to forgive them over and over and over. Because see, once someone's offended you, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to pray about it. You're going to give the situation over to God. And then you're going to trust him to take care of it and that he will do the right thing. So there's the key. Do you trust God when you've prayed about it, you've forgiven the person, and you give it over to God? You have to trust him that he will do right by you, that he will do the right thing at the right time. Because I tell you what, sometimes some offenses, when people offend you, or maybe they steal something from you or cause you great pain, you know, you can be reminded of that over and over. It just keeps coming back. Remember they did this. Remember you could be doing this if they hadn't stolen from you. Well, let me give you a good word of advice that once you've prayed about it, you've turned it over to the Lord, and that thought comes back, well, just don't think about it. Choose. I'm not going to think, isn't that spiritual? I am not going to think about that. And instead, this is what we're supposed to do. Because let me tell you what, if you just keep doing that offense over and over in your mind, it's just going to keep hurting you, and it doesn't do any harm to the one who hurt you anyway. So it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're supposed to take charge of our thoughts. See, what are those things that come against you? Those thoughts of that past hurt that you've already prayed, the thoughts come. Well, look at them. They haven't suffered anything, but you're still suffering. That's an argument in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because we know that God has said, well, if we pray, he hears our prayers. We've turned it over to him. We cast our care over to him, and he does take care of it. We just have to trust him that God does truly know what he's doing. He knows way more than you do about everything, and he knows how to make things right. So what do you do when those thoughts come? those things that comes back, the offense keeps assaulting. I mean, sometimes you feel like you're assaulted with that thought, that I don't want to think about that. Well, choose not to think about it and instead say, thank you, God, you're taking care of it. Thank you, God, you're taking care of it. And the devil will get tired of hounding you with it because he's tired of hearing, thank you, God. Get your mind on God. You're an awesome God. You take care of it. You love me. You know all the ins and outs, and you know the best way to take care of this for me. Because, see, we need to remember the most important thing to God is people. After loving God, our next highest priority in life is that we love people. And we show our love for God by obeying his command to love people. Treating people right and loving them the way God instructs us will not just happen by accident. You have to be prepared. And the Bible tells us how we're supposed to love people. So first thing you need to know when it comes to loving people, you have to know what the Bible says about how we're supposed to love people. We're going to go over that in a minute. And then you have to pray and ask God to help you love people the way you're supposed to. And then you need to ask God to lead you by his Spirit to know what you're supposed to say and do in each situation you encounter with people. So you got to know what the Bible has to say. You got to pray and ask God to help you to obey the word. And then you ask him to lead you by his Spirit to know what you're supposed to say and what you're supposed to do in each situation. Because see, loving people, when I say loving people, I'm talking about a selfless, giving, sacrificial kind of love. You know, because love is more than a feeling. We know the feeling of love. I love my husband. I have great deep feelings for him. I love him so much. But love is also a choice that we have to make, a choice to love regardless of circumstances or your emotions. Just dealing with people, we have all kinds of emotions that turn on the inside of us. And we must not live by our feelings because feelings will lead you in a way that is not good. Let's take, for example, the feeling of anger. If you react in anger to someone, then that will probably lead you to doing something that is not pleasing to the Lord. So when something happens and it makes me angry, I have to tell myself, I'm not going to live by my feelings. I'm going to live by what the Word of God has to say. And what does it say about dealing with anger? It says in James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Have you ever been fast becoming angry? Sometimes anger just hits you, you know, right away. You got to pull back and say no. It says in verse 20, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Because if you react out of anger, you're not going to get the results that you're supposed that God will give you, that you need to have in that situation that made you so angry. It says in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you need to pull yourself back when that anger arises inside of you, or maybe somebody's angry with you. You need to pull yourself back and say, okay, I'm going to need a soft answer, Lord. I need a soft answer. Because if I say something worse, it's just going to keep escalating and getting worse and worse and worse. I need that soft answer that's going to turn that anger away. See, I'm going to boss my feelings with the Word of God, that I'm not going to be ruled by my feelings. I'm going to take my feelings captive, and I'm not going to give any place to the devil in my mind. See, when we pray, our God is so good to show us how we're supposed to respond to people in a loving way that will not bring about the evil in our life. So how are we supposed to love people? And here it is. I said we got to know what the Bible says about how to love people. And it's in four short verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. And I counted them. These are 15 ways you can show love to people. In those four little verses, and I've read them hundreds of times and never realized how many. 15. There are 15 things here. And also look, this is 15 ways I can show my love for God by choosing to obey these commands on how we're supposed to love people. So it said, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. See, if you live out these verses, then you're going to be like Jesus was when he walked this earth. But this is how Jesus loves us. It says in John 15:12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So these verses describe to us how Jesus, when he walked this earth, how he loved us. And the first one is, love is patient. Another translation says that love is long-suffering. Nobody likes to suffer long. But when you're patient, long-suffering, that means you're going to put up with things. Like I said, Jesus was so patient with his disciples, wasn't he? In Matthew chapter 17, there's a story where there was a man who had an epileptic son who had seizures, and they brought his son to the disciples to see if they could cure him, and they couldn't. And so the man came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Can you please help me? I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't cure him. Can you please help my son?" And this was Jesus' response. He says in verse 17, Matthew 17:17, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. How long shall I put up with you?" You see, he'd been training these disciples and teaching them how to pray and praying for people. And there's just this frustration here. But you know, Jesus is so patient and long-suffering. You know, how long shall I put up with you? I tell you, his disciples still had much to learn at this point, didn't they? But sometimes I think, Lord, I still have so much to learn. How did I not know this? How do I not have more faith? We all still have much to learn. Aren't we glad that Jesus is patient with us? He was patient with his disciples, and he is patient with us, and we need to be patient with others. Because, you know, if you're a teacher, you have to be patient with your students because they don't learn it the first time around. If you're an employer and you're trying to train a new employee, you have to be patient because not everybody gets it the first time. Patience. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, when I read these verses about what love is, I'm going to back up just a little bit. It always reminds me of my dad, because he was a man who lived out these verses in front of me. This is just what he did. This is who he was. He lived these verses in his life. And parents, I want to admonish you, parents and grandparents, live out these verses in front of your children and grandchildren. Show them by the way that you live how you're supposed to love people. But my dad particularly was a kind man. He was gentle. He never, ever spoke a harsh word for me. Never spoke any harsh word to me. And growing up, all my growing up years, I only remember one time that he raised his voice. Do you remember, Carl? My sister. We were yelling at each other about something really stupid, but we were mad, and I was mad. We were yelling and screaming at each other. My dad comes in the room, we were there, and he said, "Girls, we do not raise our voices in this house." That was it. We never did it again, and that was the only time I heard it, because it was not allowed. You didn't raise your voice. He was not, and he taught that to us. You don't speak harsh words to one another. But you know, each of us is marked by memories of words that have been spoken to us. If we love people, we're going to be careful and be kind by what we say to others. And we want to be careful to choose our words very wisely, because everybody likes to be treated with kindness. Nobody likes to be criticized and put down. So, you know, as a parent or as an employer, you know, people have to be corrected. But you can do it in a kind way, and you don't have to get angry while you're doing it. You know, here's another example of someone who is very kind, and that is Joni. She is very kind. When I was on the worship team, she leads our worship team. She directs our practices. And when I was on the team, I remember times when I would just play so bad. I thought, how can anybody worship with what I just did on the piano? It really bothered me really bad. But Joni would always encourage me. And she was so kind with her words to encourage me. You know what it made me want to do? It made me want to practice more and more at home. I would practice more because she was just so kind with her words. So parents, be kind with your words when you have to discipline or get onto your children. Do it kindly and do it in a way that's going to make them want to do right, want to try even harder. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. In other words, not jealous. I mean, you can rejoice when others are blessed, you know. We need to, love rejoices when your friend got the raise and you didn't. You can rejoice with them. Love can rejoice when someone else got the raise and you didn't. That is love. Love is not jealous or envious. Love does not boast. When I think about boast, not boasting, I think about love esteems others better than yourself. Esteem others better than yourself. Never look down on others or act like what you do is more important than what they do. It says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. See, it really is in the Bible. You're supposed to esteem other people better than yourself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. See, other people's interests are important to them. And if you need to take that on and esteem what they do as being important as well. Everybody likes to be treated special. And it's a wonderful feeling when someone treats you special. Love is not proud. It doesn't exalt itself above another. These two, love does not boast and love is not proud, they kind of connect together here. Love doesn't exalt itself against another. We want to treat others right. You have to be humble. You know, and you think, you know, as we're going through these, I want to challenge you. Be thinking, do I need to work on some of these? Because, see, I read this, love is not proud. And I remember the day when the Lord showed me that I was exalting myself above somebody else. And that's embarrassing, you know, because I'm, you know, here you're praying and worshiping God, you know, and God said, you know, you have a problem with pride. You're exalting yourself above this person here. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. I was so glad he showed me. You know, I have to fight because that's a natural tendency in our world. You know, what they teach you, you know, especially in sports, we're better than you, you know. Well, maybe you are, but you got to keep those things in perspective. You know, you got to keep it right. I tell you what, I remember when I was thinking that I was better than someone else. But when you get those thoughts in your mind, because you see somebody doing something, you say, well, I'd never do that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you've never walked in that person's shoes that you think you're better than, and you don't know what they have been through. If you had been through what they had been through, you might be a way worse person than you think they are. You just don't know. Don't let pride. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. In other words, it doesn't dishonor others by how you treat them. Love is not rude. Are you rude? Nobody wants to claim that? Well, I don't want to claim it either, but the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me I was rude. I thought, I'm rude? And he showed me, yeah, you're rude in the grocery store. Because, you know, people walk slow and they clog up the aisles and they stand there forever and I just have to sit there, you know, and I'm going to get my basket and zoom around them. And the Lord told me, you're being rude. You need to slow down. You know, especially like the other day, I was so challenged by this. That's the grocery store. And we're going out and this lady, she's going so slow. You know, and I'm ready. And I'm ready to get out to the car and go on with my day. But the Lord said, no, don't be rude. So I walked really slow behind the person. But you know what? Maybe they're just going as fast as they can. You don't know how people are hurting. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know that they maybe just got a call. I remember one time I was in the grocery store. I got a call that upset me so bad. When I got to my car and unloaded all my groceries, you know, I had those hatchback things, you know. I didn't even put it down. I'm going down the road. I looked up and thought, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't lose any groceries because, you know. But you don't know what people are going through. People are going through stuff, you know. So let's be open. Maybe the Lord wants to tell you something. You know, you're rude to that person. You need to be more careful and treat them right. Don't you wish you could speak and confess all your faults in front of everyone? Okay, here we go. Verse number seven. Love is not self-seeking. I mean, it's not selfish. It doesn't insist on having its own way. I tell you, there's no room for selfishness when loving people. I had a grandmother who was such a wonderful example of this. There was no selfishness in her whatsoever. She was always thinking about what she could do for others. She had seven children. I can't tell you how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but she would never thought about what she wanted. She was always thinking about whatever somebody else might want or about what somebody else might need. She wouldn't ask you to take her out to eat. She would say, come on over, I'll fix dinner for you. She was so, you know, that I just wanted to be like her so bad. She was such a great example. Love is not selfish. Love is not easily angered. That means you're not irritable or touchy or easily offended. I haven't had trouble being easily angered or easily offended. But I found myself falling into that trap of being easily angered and easily offended. And I tell you what, I didn't like it one little bit. It's an awful way to be, to all of a sudden you're angry and all of a sudden you're offended. It's not a fun way to live. So I decided, and that thing that's making me angry, that thing that offends me, I'm going to start praying about it instead. I can't control what other people do, but I can control what I do. And it's made a really big difference because I lived that way before where nothing really bothered me much. And then all of a sudden everything bothers you and it's just not a way to live. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't hold grudges. And hardly even notices when others do you wrong. Because see, when you forgive someone, you're not supposed to keep a record of the wrongs that they did. Because remember, holding a grudge only hurts you, not the one who wronged you. So trust God to take care of it and get free. Get free from that. Love does not delight in evil or wrongdoing. And in other words, you don't take pleasure in seeing someone going down the wrong direction with their life. And love rejoices with the truth that's truthful. In other words, when you see people going the right direction with their life, you can rejoice in that. The example from these two, love does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. It's like a person who has wronged you. They've done something that was bad. And, you know, that. And you've prayed about it, given it to the Lord, and you just see, there they go. The path that they have chosen, what they are doing, you just see the destruction coming. You don't rejoice in that. You have a heart that hurts for that and longs, because you don't rejoice in evil, the evil that you can see going down the road. But that same person at some point may encounter a tragedy that turns their life around, and now they're going to turn around and choose to serve God, and you can rejoice in that. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. That means it. Another version says, love bears all things. Bears all. Jesus did that, didn't he? He bore the cross for us. He cared enough for us to do what was necessary to provide a way to protect us from an eternity without God. Everybody likes for somebody to care about them, don't they? It says in Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's, carry each other's burdens. That means we weep with those who weep. We help those who help people when they're in a time when they're weak. We stand in the gap and pray for people who are going through a hard time. And when people fall, we help them back up. I tell you what, that's love in action. Love in action, helping to bear one another's burdens. We don't turn away from those. When we see that, we go into action and we show our love. That is, the Lord loves it when we do that. Love always trusts. That means you choose to believe the best about people. Now, this can be a life changer, because if you're one who's always thinking the worst about people, if you can flip it in your mind and say, no, I'm going to start thinking the absolute best about people. Because sometimes someone may do something that you don't understand that's totally out of character for them. Well, don't go down that negative road in your mind. Think, oh, well, there's something that I don't understand. But always choose to think the absolute best about people. Love always hopes. We learned about hope on Sunday, didn't we? But that biblical hope. When you see a need in someone's life, that they need a change that they need to make, maybe they need to be more kind to people. Maybe they're one that gets angry. I don't know why I keep coming back to that one. But a love always hopes. Well, what are you going to do? What does that mean? That means you're going to by faith, you're going to pray for that person, for the fault that they have, and believe the best for them. Stand in prayer. Because what works? Prayer. Prayer is what works. Griping and complaining about what that person did, It doesn't do anything. Prayer is what works. You know, when you pray, the devil trembles when we pray. So we pray. We pray. Oh, we always, love always hopes. We want to be the best about people. And when people, you see a fault in someone, I'm going to always hope. I'm going to pray and believe that God is going to get them out of that so that they can be free. And the last one, number 15, we got there. Love always perseveres. In other words, it endures all things. See, sometimes loving people is hard, but we never, ever give up on people. Don't give up on the people in your life. Let's love them. So see, I believe the Lord has led me over time to write out some declarations and confessions that I make about people. And these are things I pray about and remind myself of. These are some things that I've had trouble with. So this is what I do when I'm making confessions and declarations and praying. I begin with, I love people. So God, help me. Help me to love people the way you do. I want to see people the way you do. Help me do it. I choose. I'm going to love people. And I will not exalt myself above another. I will never defame a fellow Christian. I'm not going to talk bad about a Christian. If you see a fault, pray about it. Don't talk bad about them. It does nothing. I esteem others better than myself. I choose to believe the best about people. I keep no record of wrongs. I'm not easily angered. I'm not easily offended, and I am not rude. So I'm going to ask you, what kind of list do you need to make? So I have a challenge for you. Look over these verses this week and ask God, what areas do I need to work on? And you make your own declarations and confessions that you need to make and pray over on your life so that you can love people the way God wants you to love people. Because it says that when we love people in 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Love never fails. Because see, when you love people the way God instructs us to, it leads to victory in your life. And loving people like that will encourage them and help them in their life as well. So in conclusion, do you have trouble loving people? Are you having trouble loving a particular individual? Well, I'm going to encourage you. Ask God to help you to love people, to love that person the way he wants you to. So I'm telling you, when you love God by choosing to live in his presence, when you love God by choosing to love people the way he wants you to, I'm telling you, that will lead to a life of freedom and a life of victory. Do you want that tonight? I know I do, and I want that for you.